Today in our journey through Paul's letter to the Romans, we're going to be looking at the second half of chapter 3 there, this place where Paul specifically turns the page, shifts gears in a new way of focus so that we can understand why he has said all that he has said up until this point. So we'll be reading today from Romans 3 at verse 21 and reading through the end of the chapter. Romans 3 at 21, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works from the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." This is the word of God for us today, and may He give us wisdom as we consider these words. Have you ever known people that seem to take a long time to make a point? You don't have to say my name out loud. Or to get back to the point that they started to make. I realize that of myself. I find myself in good company, though, I believe. Paul, so if you want to take the way we look at Scripture here in the sanctuary, Paul already a few weeks ago or more has begun something that he diverted from and then spent a long time talking about. And we've meditated on that interruption place for a few weeks now. And I think Paul has done that intentionally for us so that what he is about to say, where he picks back up where he left off already back in chapter 1, will make all kinds of sense and be such great news that we would be ready to hear it. What Paul took a break from already in chapter 1 and spent chapter 2 and the first half of chapter 3 to explain is that mankind across the board has failed. Everyone. He has made that, hopefully, abundantly clear. I wanted to illustrate what we're coming out of so we understand then where we're moving into. So I have a maze here for you to look at. Anybody love to do a maze? We got one, two, a couple people that like to do them. So you see the starting point there. There's a little opening in the side. Nathan, which way would you go if you went in? You have to go straight first by a little bit, then you come to a roadblock. Do you turn left or turn right? I don't see an exit. Oh, you don't see an exit. that is a problem. Because you could go into that thinking, as we normally would, that there's going to be an exit someplace. So if I look at the circumference of that, is there a circumference to a square? If we look at the perimeter, why don't we go with that? The perimeter of the square, I also only see one opening. And so you get into the maze thinking that there is a way to get out. And maybe your natural inclination is to always, when you start to do something, I'm going to go to the left, or I'll go to the right, or I'll keep making right turns for a while because... But regardless of whichever way you go, you find that it has no way to get out. That's where Paul has been taking humanity in explaining where we are at. We all come into life at the same starting point. Everybody comes in equally. We all start from one position. And that's where Paul has been talking. There have been people that have had advantages. And Paul acknowledges that Paul is one of those that had an advantage in the world that he grew up in. But everybody started at the same starting point. And the problem with that is there was nothing that any of us could do to get out of that. Paul has been speaking now and trying to let us know the overall condition of the world. And I think what he's done is shown us that the playing field of the world has been leveled in three ways. One is what we've been looking at for a few weeks. And it started with this acknowledgement that everybody knows that there is a God. Now, you will find people that will disagree with that, but Scripture then would have to be false. But what we looked at was that they know it exists, but they fall for the lie instead to dismiss the fact that God exists, so they don't have, while they have knowledge of Him, they don't have to acknowledge Him. And so that's one way in which the playing field is level for everyone. All of us know at some level that God exists. Chapter 1 said that in verse 20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. It hasn't stopped in the things that have been made, so people are without excuse. Second, playing field that has been leveled. We all know that God exists. Second, no one is good. Paul kept beating us with that last week as we looked at that. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. He takes the opportunity to make sure that he is trying to let you know that nobody comes into right relationship with God on their own. Jesus was asked the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Implying that there isn't anyone good. He knows that. He's familiar with the Psalms that are being quoted here. Jesus knows that nobody comes into this world good. We are all born, as David recognized, born into sin. We did not come into this world without the need for a Savior. Everybody came in the same way. Everybody enters into life from the same position. Neither, as we looked at last week, neither did we grow up knowing that what we are, who we are, because of how we grew up or where we grew up, that means something for our salvation as well. Well, I've sat here all my life, and so I have some goodness in me. The Jews would say that, hey, we are God's chosen people. So we get a pass. We have some right standing before Him. And Paul would say, as we looked at last time too, that's not the case. And Paul will continue to make that point as we continue on through the book of Romans. The Jews didn't live their lives and do something and have something in and of themselves because of who they were that made them right with God. We don't possess that. It's the level playing field. Again, in the encounter with the rich young ruler, where he wants to know where salvation is found, and Jesus says, "Well, what does it say in the law?" And he recites the better portion of the second half of the law, and he's accomplished those things. The rich young man has done those things. Jesus said in Mark 10:25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples, it said, were exceedingly astonished and said to them, who then can be saved? That's where Paul is trying to bring us. It may have felt really heavy and messages full of despair over the last few weeks, because that's where we're meant to be brought to. Imagine, Nathan, you got into the maze and you made it all the way to the other side after backtracking a few times, only to find out then there was no exit. Oh, the wasted time and despair that would bring. We are meant to realize from what Paul has been telling us in his presentation of the good news, that we don't possess it. We can't achieve it. We weren't born into it. But when his disciples then said, who could be saved? Jesus said, with man, it is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. When you find yourself in this place of utter despair because you have been failing all your life, and even as you try harder and more diligently, you find out that even on your best days, you can't accomplish what you set your mind to, we are meant to cry out to the living God in need of His mercy. So now the third level playing field is God's righteous plan of salvation and redemption. There is hope for all of mankind. There is a way when you realize who we are in and of ourselves and what we have tried to do and failed at, there is a way. There is a plan that God has had since before time began to take you out of this maze that has no hope for you and bring you to a new place. When it comes to this plan of salvation, Paul said already back in Romans 1 at 16 and 17 where he really begins to introduce what he wants to say throughout the book, throughout his letter. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Paul is letting his readers know, and for us as well, know that there is a plan that will take us out of the pit of despair and the overwhelming weight of our sin, and it all rests on the power of God. It is the plan that will save us. To the one who works diligently at it, who keeps trying every time they fail? No, for everyone who believes. It goes on, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That's where Paul left off and went into this long distraction, a necessary distraction of what we need to understand about how do you get to a place where you see and receive this righteousness of God. It is a righteousness that needs to be revealed. This word righteousness is a major contributor to the theme of what Paul has been saying all along here. God's justice, though, needs to be fulfilled. In our Bible reading plan this past Tuesday, we read these words from Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. Each of us is accountable for our own sins. And mine just keep piling up. And I can't pay for them because every time I would try to pay for them, I pile up more. And the only way to truly pay for them is with my life. And I can't do that in and of myself because I don't possess what it takes to redeem my sinful life. Paul said also at the end of Romans 1, as he paints this picture of the fallenness of mankind, he says to the people that have fallen so far, have become so depraved in mind, hardened in heart, this idea of justice is still something that is part of their understanding. Though they know God's righteous decree, that those who practice these things deserve to die. Even in our fallen condition, we realize that the penalty for our sin is death. There's that stark contrast that exists between the righteousness of God and our complete unrighteousness. That's what it said last week at chapter 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, as you paint a picture and you deal with colors, the most obvious contrast that you can paint is black and white. And our blackness shows the magnificent brilliance of God's white. Those things have been revealed as well. Even in the unbelieving world, there is a sense where justice needs to be satisfied. How does that happen? How do you take the justice of God and satisfy that without destroying the world? Because if sin has to be punished, and all of it means death, if all of sin was punished, there wouldn't be anybody left on the earth. Listen to what the conversation took place, this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus was beginning to reveal to him as well about how do you have real life, life that lasts, life that comes out from underneath the penalty of sin. Maybe you've heard these words before. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to destroy the world, but that they would have life in Him. He came to reveal where life would be found, so that we would be saved through Him. This is the righteousness of God that has now been revealed. He's been waiting for the right time to reveal His plan of salvation so that all are ready to hear it and all are able to. The righteousness of God, it says at verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, if you or I had to write the story of salvation, do you know which way we would write it? Cal, what would you do to save yourself? If you had to write the story of salvation from a human perspective, live a better life. If we could just live up to it, right, then maybe we could be saved. But have we learned that that's a possibility or not? It's not. We would try to write a salvation plan that includes our efforts because we love to contribute to the things of our world and we want to say we had a part in it. I think you know what your part has been in it already. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ, though. There is no distinction anywhere. Grew up around the faith, completely isolated from it. All have sinned and fall short. All of us. But we're justified. Everybody who receives salvation is justified by His grace, not by works, as a gift. I remember somebody got a gift last week too. Remember getting a gift last week? How easy was it to get that gift? Is it like pretty easy? Yeah. I told you exactly what where it was. All you had to do was take it, right? Easy peasy. Some people didn't have that opportunity. Didn't come into this illustration with the advantage of knowing exactly where to find it. But now it has been revealed. Now everybody has that same opportunity. I don't have $3 for you today, but I'll give you $3 if you'd like. It's that way of God's saying, if you want the gift of salvation, it's yours as well. It's an open-handed extension of His grace. If you take it by faith, it's yours. What a wonderful plan! It's a gift of grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The only one that could actually do it. One, there had to be a human representative, as there was for all of sin. There has to be a human representative for all mankind for salvation to somehow account for the sins of all people. Paul will continue on in fleshing this out. But he's already alluded to the perfect substitute that you and I needed. Back in Paul's opening greeting, he talked about Jesus being a descendant of David and revealed as the Son of God, truly human and truly God. He's the only one that has the right to stand in the gap for us and the only one capable of enduring the wrath of God on our behalf. Paul got at that. When he said, "Hi, I'm Paul. I want to write something to you." And he began to reveal this Jesus, this perfect plan already in his opening greeting. And then we get to this word. God Jesus Christ, whom God put forward, and as the ESV read, as a propitiation by His blood. That doesn't make sense to a lot of ears naturally. The NIV says, a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Atonement still brings us a different flavor of that. And the Christian Standard Bible says, God presented Him, Jesus, as the mercy seat by His blood. Paul is revealing here that God's eternal plan has been in the place of being revealed for thousands of years already, as God's people would understand the mercy seat when they went to bring their sacrifice to try to atone for their own sins, and they gave their sacrifice and the blood was splattered on the mercy seat, trusting that God would release them from their sins. And now Paul is saying here, Jesus is that propitiation, that atoning sacrifice. He is the mercy seat through His blood that we have forgiveness. And it is to be received again, Paul says, by faith. So what part did we play in order to achieve this great salvation? Did you hear that? The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, all have sinned, but they're justified as a gift of grace. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a mercy seat by Christ's blood. What part did you play in that? None. Nothing. What part do you have to play in order to have it? Receive it in faith. It is an all-inclusive invitation. It's amazing, though, that the world thinks of Christianity as exclusive, when Paul is making the exact opposite case for what the gospel message is. It is an open invitation to all who would believe by faith and receive the gift as God's grace. So, Paul picks up on another thread and brings it back around. What do you and I have to boast in anymore, in and of ourselves? We may be able to determine within a few minutes who has sat here the longest in their life. We've got a visitor here with us this morning that used to sit here among us. Well, we won't say how many years ago, but a number of years ago. There may be other people that have sat among the people here longer than that. What does your sitting among the people of God gain you? It gives you an advantage, right? We know the advantage, right? Larry, you know that there's an advantage to being here. But by sitting here and coming week after week and lifting up your voice in praise, does that gain you your salvation? It doesn't. So, what would we boast about? Who do we boast about? We boast in Jesus. He did it all. He faithfully followed His Father's command all the way to death. Finished the work so that you and I would have a gift given freely. We don't have anything to boast about. How then, if we didn't contribute to it other than the need for salvation, and that's been painfully clear, if we didn't accomplish anything in and of ourselves, and we realize that it has been Christ who's done it as a gift that we receive by faith, how do we live in light of what we've received. That's where Paul began his gospel message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he said. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, those that grew up in the faith, and for the Greek. For in it the righteousness is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We have been saved by His grace through faith. Our salvation comes through faith. Our lives are lived now in that same faith as a righteous response to God. We have received such a gift at the expense of Christ Himself. It is meant to transform the way we live in every aspect of our lives. Amen? Father, thank You for mercy, for grace, for a righteous plan that depends solely on You. We just need to believe. It seems so easy, Father, to just accept the free gift by faith, and yet many have been offered and many have refused. Many have tasted and many have turned away. There's still something in us, and our enemy loves to point that out, that there's something, it seems, that's maybe better than what You're offering, as He did with Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't trust what God says. I have a better way. So thank You, Father, for making it so simple, but continue to work in us, to continue to receive day by day the grace that You give us, because in today, in this day, Father, I have failed. I suspect there are brothers and sisters in earshot of this that have failed today as well, as those that have been saved already by Your grace. And so, Father, where I think I can control my life, would You help me to let go of that and just receive Your grace again so that it will transform my life, to be the recipient of Your mercy, understanding that Christ has already overcome the hardest part of my struggles here on earth. And that what I face now, I face having been set free and been redeemed and saved by the blood of the Lamb. Father, help us to see that we are easily identifiable with the world around us. We all came into this life the same way, and we all who have lasting, everlasting, eternal life all come through it the same way as well, the free gift of Jesus Christ. Help us to be proclaimers of the gospel, to be bold in our witness, to be winsome in our words, filled with grace and truth, so that the world around us will be drawn into this righteous relationship that is extended to them as a gift of grace to be received by faith. Father, give us people to speak with, to speak the good news to them, so that they too may come and realize the life that there is. In Jesus' name, amen.